There you go, you realise you can't work the microphone. It's just one of those things. Oh, it's lovely to be here again, especially today, praying. It's just really good, really exciting. Just wanted to, before we get to preaching, I'm going to look at Acts chapter 20. So if you need a bit of time to find it, while I chanter on, that'll give you a chance. I just wanted to thank you because your church gave us a chunk of money, not for our church, but to give out to other things. And I really wanted to thank you because it makes a huge difference. You sort of put money in a collection or give standing order or whatever you do. And sometimes it's nice to know where it goes, isn't it? And I know you've spoken about that at your church family meeting, but it really makes a difference. I was on the phone to Emmanuel in Uganda this last week about a couple of things, and he's really excited because they have no money. They've got 140 churches, and all the tithes and offering from those churches don't even cover the petrol in his car. That's the kind of level of finances they're at. But you guys, I don't know if you know this, but you guys are helping him get to Cyprus so he can join with other apostolic leaders from all around the world and learn. And he's got lots actually to teach them, but he's also got things to learn. And he wouldn't be able to do that without Grace Church Bromsgrove, which is just, I think it's fabulous. So on his behalf, thank you so much. Hope you get some of you get to meet him. He's coming across to the festival that you're all going to book into next year. So some of you get the chance to say hello to him then. He's a really, really lovely guy. And Catalyst, particularly our church, but a bit from the offering as well, pay for them to train church leaders. I mean, they're all subsistence farmers. All their pastors are subsistence farmers. So we help, because if you ask people to come and train, you have to pay their bus fare to come, and you have to feed them, and you have to hire mattresses for them on the church hall. You have to do everything and then pay for them to go home again. So we help them with their training. And you've also sent some money for the flight to go out and do some training with them. So I'm going out in December to do some training with them. So thank you so much. I wouldn't have been able to do that this year. I went in February, but I wouldn't have been able to go and do training without your help. So I'm really, really grateful. And it's partnership, isn't it, in the gospel, that I think every church I've ever been in, we've always felt feeble. I don't know if you ever feel that. As a church leader, I feel that. But actually, when we work together, it's amazing what we can do, what we find God doing, really, because we are pretty feeble. But his grace is with us. Anyway, without further ado, I would like to read a bit from Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And this is Paul's in the middle of his great adventures. He was a Christian killer. That's what he started off at. And he was a top boffin with the Pharisees. All, you know, very, very intellectual bloke. But he hated Christians. And he became a Christian. Not only that, he started going planting churches everywhere. And he's in the middle of all of that. And he sends to Ephesus, which is a church he started some time before and spent a couple of years there. And then he was off. So this is him. It's from Miletus, don't know where that is, somewhere near the Mediterranean. He's sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you." So that's for the 2 years. "From the first day I came into your province in Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of great testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know I haven't hesitated to preach you anything that would be helpful to you. I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to Jews and Greeks they must turn to God in repentance." That means to change your mind and go the opposite way. "And have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." So the Christian's life's not a lucky rabbit's foot. He says, "I'm following Christ, I'm going off, I'm doing what God says, but it's going to be hard, it's going to be a cost to me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I've gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today, I'm innocent of the blood of any of you, for I've not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God.
Now keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and won't spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You know, these hands of mine have supplied my own needs. He was a tent maker. That's what he did to earn dosh while he was planting these churches. And the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So I just want to underline a few things that should be valuable to us as a church. Valuable things to Grace Church. I've got a confession to make. I'm knocking on a bit. I'll be 60 next year. I know, I hear you say. Impossible, but I will be. And so I found myself lately... suddenly, you know, I flick channels sometimes, and that's another confession. I flick channels sometimes, and particularly if I'm tired, and I've started getting interested in Antiques Roadshow, which just shows I am getting on a bit. And one of the things I'm fascinated by is when they find something they think's a bit of old tat, and then they find out it's a rare bit of Anglo-Saxon pottery or something like that. And there was someone on recently, they got this thing out of the cupboard of the Worcestershire Regiment, and they took it. They knew it was a bit of... They thought it was glass, and they thought it was set in some sort of plastic, and it had something that looked like diamond at the end. And it turns out it does belong. It was given by Lady something rather to the Worcestershire Regiment, and it was made by that Russian jeweller Fabergé. And this thing is actually supposed to be a bit of pear blossom, and it's worth £1 million. This thing, you see, so they had it. It was theirs. They did know it was theirs. It was there in a glass case, but they didn't realise it was valuable. Do you know that? That's everyone's dream, isn't it? You clear that relative of yours that's passed away that you didn't like that much, and you find this thing, and it's worth a fortune. We've done that a bit. We've gone to Bygones in Worcester, and we always take it, think, and they always go, no, it's old tat. It's rubbish. We don't want it. We're not interested. So it never actually seems to work. But on telly, sometimes it just does. There was a lady there a few weeks ago who bought. She'd gone to a car boot sale and got a rug with an unusual pattern on it. And she got it for a fiver. And it turns out it's a rare North American... It's like it'd been made in 1800 and something. It's a rare Native American Indian rug. And it was worth £200,000 or £300,000, this thing. You think, God, what... Do you ever think... I mean, it's only wanting what you haven't got, isn't it? But you think, that never happens to me. If I buy an old rug, it will probably have fleas in it and be worth nothing. But you can have things that actually are valuable in church life as well, that are really valuable, and you don't always realise what you've got, how valuable it is. So it's a bit standard. I'm telling you things that most of you will know, but I just want to remind you of them. And the first is that Grace Church are a people of spirit and truth. Grace Church are a people of spirit and truth. Paul was really concerned with Jesus, with truth, with teaching the Bible, with... I find it really interesting. You know, when Jesus came alive again, if I'd been Jesus, I would have just sneaked up on some Pharisees and said, boo! So just so that would have been enough for me, you know, just, you know, I'm alive. But actually, Jesus took the time to go through all the Old Testament and all the prophets talking about himself. He was concerned to actually teach them the Bible. And Paul's very concerned. He says in this passage we've just read, I taught you publicly, that's like this, and house to house. I went around your house making sure you understood. He's really concerned with the truth. And the Bible says God loves us to worship in the spirit and in truth. That's why the songs we sing are packed full of truth. Lots of Bible facts. Because God loves us to worship him with truth. It's an obvious thing, but we're sort of people of a book. And I know that's really, you know, a bit old-fashioned nowadays. But we are. We're people of the Bible. And the Bible says of itself, it's God-breathed. It's really useful. It's useful for telling you off. It's useful for putting you back on the tracks. It's useful for pointing you in the right direction. It's useful for all sorts of things. So let's value work. I don't know how each of us does it, but that's a good question to think about. How do you value the Bible? What does it look like for us to value the Bible in our day-to-day life? We're a people of the truth, and that keeps our church life secure, actually. That's the measuring tape we hold up to things. Is it true to the Bible? How does it measure up? But at the same time, the Holy Spirit is vital, because the Bible says the letter on its own tends to kill. It gets dull. But the Spirit brings life. When the Holy Spirit breathes on his word, it comes with life. So the Bible says things like that. You know, when you're worshipping and you suddenly feel the love of God, that's the Holy Spirit. There's that Abba, Father. But when you suddenly feel free, that's the Holy Spirit. He brings liberty. He gives us power to witness for him. And here in this verse specifically, he's going on. Paul's doing this journey. He's leaving them. They're not going to see him anymore. He's off up to Jerusalem, even though he knows prison's coming, because he says that I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit. So actually, we want to build our church life on what the Bible says and what the Holy Spirit's doing. Both together. We hold both. You get some people that love the word of God. They're really genuine. I was brought up with that. I love the word of God. It was very boring, but they love the word of God. Lovely people, but they had none of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I come across Christians that are all Holy Spirit and they lost touch a bit with the Bible. We want both, don't we? We want to be people of word and spirit together. Because like the Bible talks about elders, but it doesn't say make him one or make him one. Doesn't that, we've got to listen to what God's saying, haven't we? The Bible says be witnesses, but it doesn't tell us whether to put on a quiz or an alpha course. We've got to listen to what he says, be directed by him. So that's one of the really valuable things about our family of churches, I think. It's one of the things I love, one of the things I think we got right, is to be people of both the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Here's another one. This is a dead simple one. Be people who love church. I've noticed some of the people in my church don't love church very much. I'm preaching them. I love our church. It's ropey sometimes, to be honest. Sometimes a bit feeble. I've got confessions to make. I don't like the summer period very much. I think I should go on holiday, but when I'm there, I think everyone else should be there. I'm a bit hypocritical on it, because it's a bit feeble in the summertime, isn't it? You don't know who's going to turn up. It's a bit like that this time of year. You think, what's happened to everybody? It's like that. But actually, I love the church. And he says some interesting things when he's talking to these elders and telling them to be good shepherds and that kind of thing. He says, it's the church of God. Now, we may have a badge on. We have an Anglican church. This one out in the front's got Methodist church. There's a Church of England. There's different tribes, isn't there? Different bits of God's church. But actually, church is God's idea. So let's value it. Yeah, does that make sense? Let's really value church. In fact, he goes on to say, this is the church which he bought with his own blood. That's a really, wow. Jesus thinks church is worth dying for. Us lot. It's really valuable. And he says the Holy Spirit is making you overseers of that church, he says to this group of guys. So if you think about it, church, the whole of the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, loves church. So we must value gathering together, value when you're in small groups as well, value the community, value everything about church. It's what God's into. I found a great verse in Ephesians 3 verse 10. It says, through the church, God's wisdom will be displayed to heavenly realms. In fact, it says literally, it's God's multicoloured wisdom. In other words, when God wants to show either to an angel or a demon how wise he is, he points to the church. He says, look what I'm doing. Look at that lot in Africa. Look what they're doing with no money at all. God, look at that. Look at those lot in Bromsgrove. Look at what they're doing. God, look at that lot there. Look at that. That's amazing, isn't it? That God says, that's how much he values church. Let's value each other. Let's value gathering together. And be a church that makes, I've got here in my note, I want my church, this is me speaking,
in my own funny way. I want to be a church that makes angels dance and demons tremble. I don't know whether we are that yet. I certainly don't want to be the other way round. I do want to be a church that makes angels dance and demons tremble. That's a great thing to be part of a church. So it's very easy in our day and age to get sort of cynical about church, really. Oh, don't know, should I go? Oh, don't know. I went to the run this morning. Well done, by the way. Well done for the run. But it's, oh, I don't feel like it. Do you feel like it? No, I don't feel like it this week. No, let's go to cinema instead or whatever. And that's fine up to a point, but let's really value church. Church is what God's into. Oh, he's interested in all of our lives, but church is what he's working in and through in the world today. Third thing to really value is God's grace. You're called Grace Church. I shouldn't have to even say that, should I? Paul says, this is my task, to be a witness to the good news of God's grace. And then at the end, he says, I'm committing you to God's grace. It sounds a bit religious, but it isn't religious. It's saying, hey, you became a Christian, not because you got clever, but because God was gracious, which means he gives you stuff that you don't deserve. It's God's grace. Let's be a people who know that we're saved by God's grace. We didn't deserve it. We can't earn it. God graciously saved us. And having begun that way, that's how we continue as well. Oh, I can't get through this week. Oh, Lord, I just need to receive more grace. I've got a difficult meeting. Oh, I need to receive more grace. And the grace we've received, we can give to one another in the church as well, can't we? God has put my way, what I call sometimes, this is secret, don't pass it on, but some special grace required people. Do you ever have any of them in your life? People you think, by nature, I would find you a little bit challenging, but by God's grace, we're in the same church, we're in the same body, you're my friends, I love you, I'm going to lay my life down to try and serve you. God's grace is there, so we're going to be a people of grace. So often we think of grace just us and God, and that's true, God is gracious, but the way I put it is this, look, God's been really kind to you, so be kind to one another. That's the grace of God. You can afford to be gracious to others because he's been super kind to you. Isn't that true? Yes, to me anyway. Really kind. Far better than I ever deserved in every area of my life. So I can afford to cut others some slack and be gracious to them as well. So what have we done? We've done a people of truth and spirit, a people who love church, a people of grace. Here's another one, a people of mission. You see, the whole point he's there with these elders is he's pushing off. He's going. He says, by the way, it's not a cosy visit. He comes around every 6 months. Paul comes. Isn't that nice? Paul comes around this time and says, wait, you're never going to see me again, guys. And I love the fact that they all cry. They don't say, oh, okay, ta-ra. there's authority in this relationship, but there's real affection as well. And the reason he's going is, I've got a task. I've got to go to the next place with the gospel. I say to our guys, our task is to go to the next to our neighbour, and then the next place, and then the next nation. That's our task. We're on a mission together, whether we do it locally or whether we club together and help somewhere in Africa or wherever it is. We're a people of mission. So we take the gospel of grace. Some people are called to go off to other nations, aren't they? Most of us don't. Most of us just invite someone to the quiz. That's the same, isn't it? That's all part of the same big story that all over the world, people are reaching out, loving people, caring for people, witnessing, well, this is what Jesus did for me, and inviting people along to things. Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat, so give out a Christmas invite. Something like that, anyway. The poem goes something like that. Do you see what I'm saying? There are people of mission. Paul was setting them an example. He says, no, we've got to keep going with the gospel. It wasn't about maintaining Ephesus. It was about the gospel going forward. And then a people of generous hearts. I know you're generous. I've spoken about it already. But he says in 20 verse 35, we must help the weak. I love that. Do you know in the New Testament, virtually all the apostles that write in the New Testament talk about helping the poor. That's great, isn't it? James, Peter, John, Paul, they all talk about it. And here it's a quote that you don't even find in the gospel. It says, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
to help others. We must help the weak. I love the way you guys do the Catalyst Festival. You know, let's all go. Let's all go and we'll work it out. I love that. Don't let money be in the way of going. That's super, isn't it? Because that means those that have got more can give more, help those that have got a bit less. Those that have got less can give what they can give. It's not an excuse not to give anything, but it's, you know, you give what you can give. That's great. Helping the weak, helping those guys in Africa. You won't know what a blessing it is to them. Guys, most of the pastors there, just about, some of them didn't even do that, just about finished primary school. So that the getting training, I mean, we think we've got so many courses and books and internet. We've got stuff coming out of our, we've got too much knowledge. It's how to do it is our problem. But they don't, they're so hungry to learn. So just helping a trainer get there and help them is so valuable. It's brilliant that you're helping them, really genuinely helping them. I went out last year and did some training, and I was in a place, got no electricity, no running water, just nothing. It's like being in, it's a bit like being in The Lion King. They had those, you know, those rocks where the lions quit. It was like that. It was brilliant. No drains, nothing. I had such a super week there. But I was getting worried because my battery and my Kindle was running out by the end, but that's because I'm a Westerner. I like my luxury. But to help people like that, that's part of what we're about, isn't it? Helping the weak, whether they're people in need in Bromsgrove or down the road or wherever they are. So let's be people with generous hearts. And you are, commend you for it. I'm not getting at anyone. I'm saying I commend you for being a generous church. It's really valuable. God values helping the weak. You know that? God really values helping the weak. In fact, it says somewhere about God ignoring people's prayers because they don't help the poor. It's a bit of a weird verse, isn't it? Let's help the poor. Let's keep being generous to one another and to those in need. And then the last thing, which we've covered already today, is a people that really value their leaders. A people who value leadership. Paul gathers these leaders together. He sort of summons them, but I'm sure he did it in a nice way. But there's, in the Bible, it's interesting, there's no hierarchy, but there's authority. So he's able to say, look, I want you to come over here, and they all come. So, but they're all equal. So it's a funny thing. There's even within teams, there's leadership, but there's not like a triangle and a pyramid in that sense. So Paul's not at all professional. He's not like Mr. Apostle Senior Incorporated. He's not like that at all. He's full of affection. They're hugging him. They're weeping. They're getting down on their knees. They're praying together. I love all that. Let's value our leaders. And we prayed earlier on, but pray for all the elders. Pray as they meet together. Pray for them. Pray for their families and wives. And he uses four different words for these elders in this passage. Elders. They're not looking too bad, actually. They're not looking too old, but that indicates maturity. Leaders should have a certain level of maturity. That's why you don't recognise them too early. Take your time. Be wise. So then he calls them overseers, which is sort of word you'd use, was a Roman word. They used it of like people that were responsible in the city. People that oversaw. Oh, this needs sorting. That needs sorting. Oh, we need to go in that direction. Oh, I'm a bit worried about this. That kind of thing. And then he says, be shepherds, which is an Old Testament word. We know what a shepherd does. He looks after the sheep, protects them from wolves, feeds them, sets a direction. And then the last one is actually literally bishops, episkopos it is. And we always think of a man with a, you know, funny hat and a shepherd's crook. But again, it was a Roman word. A bishop was in the Roman army, was someone that inspected the troops. It's the same word we get microscope, scopus, or telescope, episcopus us. And it was a guy that looked at the troops and said, those need cleaning. You need a rifle. You're doing fine, but you're a bit unfit. You get training there. Oh, you've been working hard. You need a bit of a rest. Have a week off in the barracks. And he would inspect the troops and make sure they were ready, able to be together as a unit to do whatever the army required of them. I think it's a great picture of the things that elders do.
they're mature people amongst us, people who are able to oversee, care for different ones, or say, I'm a bit concerned about this or that. People that shepherd us, protect us, guide us, lead us forward. People that say, hey, we need to do this. We need to equip in that area. And I think that's a great picture, isn't it? And I just want to say, I think you've got some super guys. I'm trusting God. I'm praying that the team will be added to, because you have a team. A team is the sum of its parts, which is more than each individual on its own. But let's pray for they can be who they are. They mustn't. One thing elders can't be is what they're not. I've tried to be several people over the course of my life, and I've found that the people I'm trying to be like are already somewhere else, and I can't be them. They can only be. Does that make sense? They must be themselves. You free them up to be themselves, and then we pray, God, give us everything we need as a church to build us up. What we lack, we can't be. You can't pretend to be what you're not. But what we lack, bring in and give us, Lord. So we value leadership. We stick together. Be on your guard. In fact, he finishes with that. Hey, be on your guard, because Satan's around and you can get disturbances. And I know as a church you've been through some ups and downs and some troubled, difficult times, but let's be on our guard. Let's hold together. Let's pray for our elders, those who are anointed by God to lead us, because we're still on a mission. We're still on a mission to reach our neighbours. We're on a mission to help the poor, to share God's grace together. So it's great to be part of a church. It's lovely to be here. So I'll finish there because I've spoken for long enough. Can I pray?
Yes.
And then I'll hand back over to you, Steve, if that's okay. Yeah, let's pray together. God, I thank you that you're a generous God. Lord, there's some fantastic things about Grace Church in Bromsgrove. And Lord, I pray that we won't be like people sometimes at the car boot sale who get stuff and don't know how valuable it is. We thank you for the valuable things that you've built into this church. A love of your grace. A love of your word. Care for the poor. Lord, some of those things are there. So some wonderful, loving, kind, gracious leaders. Lord, I thank you for what you've built in. And we ask you that we would be men and women of your spirit. Men and women of your gospel. Men and women who love others in that way. Lord, build up your church. We thank you for this sort of historic day of another elder being recognised. We pray, as we go into this autumn, that you would encourage us. I pray specifically for the church here, that you give them encouragement. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for everything you've done up till now. Thank you that you're here in the midst of us. We pray that you'd lead us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Steve.
Thank you, Richard. Okay.